This morning's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 24 to 26. John, chapter 12, verses 24 to 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. As you can see, I'm not the vicar. The vicar, as Kumu prayed just now, is down sick with some food poisoning. We pray that he will get better. His sermon that he has prepared for this week will be preached next week. And so we will pause the 1 Corinthians series until we return after Easter. Is that okay? Okay, yes, yeah, okay. Have to say okay as well. Yeah. shall we bow our heads in prayer just to pray for our vicar this moment in time? Father, we thank you for our vicar. We thank you that you have brought him, that you have placed him amongst us. Lord, we now pray over his body. We pray for his digestive system. We speak against all the bad bacteria in the name of Jesus. We pray healing into his body right now. Anything that is causing all the cramps and anything else, we call it to stop in the mighty name of Jesus, O Lord. Lord, bring your healing and your comfort upon him even as he rests. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, Amen. And so this morning, even though you saw me last week, I want to talk about seeds. And my title of the sermon today is, I am a seed. Let me first start off by saying that we have a seed. You have a seed. You will agree with me that regardless of age, of background, your past, God has deposited a seed inside every one of us. This seed is your talent, your time, your energy, your testimony. This seed is the raw material of a miracle that God can do something with. However, sometimes we hold on to this seed as if it were the most precious thing in the world. We guard our time preciously, saying that we have very little time and so I cannot do this or I cannot go there. We guard our talents. For some reason, we guard our energy because we do not want to get overly burdened or tired. But the challenge before us today is this, that this seed was never meant to be kept, to be admired. It was never meant to be kept clean and pristine. It was never meant to be kept in a nice, dry, velvet bag or placed in a well air-conditioned room. It was meant to be buried in earth. If we ever want to see a harvest in our lives or in our church, we must be willing to face this inconvenience of being sown. The greatest lie the enemy tells us is that we have nothing to offer. We look at the giants of the faith, the people that are on stage every week leading us in worship. We look at the musicians, pastors, leaders, and we think they have the seeds. I am just fertilizer. But the word of God declares otherwise. Matthew 25 verse 15, the Lord taught us a parable of the talents, which reads as such, To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The parable that Jesus told tells us of the master who distributed talents to his servants, each according to his ability. We must note that not one of them received 0. In the economy of heaven, there's no such thing as an empty-handed child of God. But the nature of your seed could be very different. Your seed might be a talent for administration, a heart for the broken, the ability to pray for hours, or simply, maybe like myself, the ability to talk a lot. Some of us may have the gift of hospitality, for creation care, for business, and to make money. 1 Peter chapter 4 tells us that as each has received the gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Peter tells us 2 things about these gifts, about these talents, about these seeds that the Lord has given. He says that your seed is a piece of God's varied grace. It is a gift given by the Lord. And secondly, we are to use it to serve one another. After all, we are the body of Christ. Each of us has received something from the Lord so that we are able to contribute to the welfare of one another and ultimately build the body of Christ. Our gifts are actually a specific solution to someone else's problem. But here is the challenge. A seed is sometimes, usually, very deceptive. It's so small, so you don't really think too much of it. To the naked eye, a seed will not look like a tree. It will not look like a vine. It will not look like the plantation that it can become. Because the potential is not in the size of the seed, but in the power of the one who designed it. My friends, each of us is carrying a forest inside of us this morning. The question is, will you sow the seed? Will you be unselfish and use the seed that you have to serve one another? Your small yes seed to waking up very early in the morning at 8:15 to serve TE or JC, or your small seed sacrifice of an hour a week for mentoring conversations and breakfast with someone might look insignificant now. But Zechariah also encourages us not to despise the day of small beginnings. So not only do we have a seed, but we are also the seed. As we go about our lives, we must confront a dangerous spiritual temptation. And this is the attraction of the familiar. This is the party of the same old, same old. You see, staying with other seeds in a bag is enjoyable. There's a social warmth in the bag. We are people of the same sort. Every one of us is a simple seed. But for a seed, the bag is a barrier to being bountiful. God rarely tells his people to stay where they are. He usually tells them to go, to leave the bag of safety. In Genesis 12 verse 1, God tells Abram in his Abrahamic departure, he says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. Abram was in the bag of his father's house where he had his kindred, his family was with him, his friends were there. He had security. He had inheritance. But if Abram had stayed in the bag of Haran, he would have died a wealthy nomad instead of becoming the father of many nations. His breaking out was the prerequisite for the blessing, not only for him, but for all the world. In the call of the disciples, when Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee in Matthew chapter 4, and as he saw Peter and Andrew coming back with a big catch of fish, he called them to follow him. He called them to leave their occupation, called them to leave their familiar trade, put aside their financial security. And they did. They left all that they were familiar with all of their lives and followed the Lord, becoming fishers of men. The Lord Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, reads as such, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." Philippians tells us that Christ himself did not count equality with God something to be grasped. He did not stay in the bag of heavenly glory, but instead he emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant and came to earth. If the Lord Jesus had stayed in the bag of heaven, the world would have stayed in the chains of sin. If you ask a seed that is sown into a field, it cannot tell you about the joy of the harvest because it doesn't know what it is nor what it feels like. But what it can tell you is how it feels like being broken and torn apart. We often use the word growth as a very poetic term in church. But in the kingdom of God, growth first needs a breaking. If we want to be bigger versions of ourselves, we either start to eat a lot and expand our stomachs over Chinese New Year, or a better way would be to get ourselves to the gym to break and stretch some muscle fibers so that we can grow much bigger. Every seed is born with a hard, protective outer shell, what we call the tester. It keeps the seed safe from the elements. Spiritually, this shell represents our self-sufficiency, represents our reputation, our pride, our control over our own lives. We spend years building this shell because we want to look good. We want to look put together for the world. We want to seem unshakable and impenetrable. But here is the theological and biological reality. That which protects you in the bag will imprison you in the field. If the shell does not break, the real life inside you, the real you, the anointing, the Christ in you, will remain a prisoner of your ego. Because you just won't sow it. You want it for yourself. You want to decide what to do with it. And it will just remain inanimate. Jeremiah 23 verse 29 tells us, "It's not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces." God is not being a bully when he allows the hammer of life's circumstances to break our shells. He's actually being our liberator. He is breaking the container so that the content can serve its purpose. But how does a seed break? How does the shell break? It isn't just the weight of the dirt outside. It's also the pressure from the inside. When a seed is sown, it begins to absorb water. It drinks and drinks until the life inside begins to swell. This represents the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, often symbolized by water. As you give your yes to God, as you pray, as you fast, as the Word of God germinates in our life, the Spirit of God begins to expand us. We begin to expand. We start to feel a holy tension. The old life, the bag lifestyle, will start to feel small. Your addictions will feel restrictive. Your old habits will not be attractive anymore. Change starts to happen, and this is the necessary pain. It's the pain of a soul that has become too big for its skin. A Christian that has encountered the living presence of God. So today, if you feel that you are under pressure, or if your strength is being stretched to breaking point, don't give up. Don't long to return to the bag where it's comfortable, where it's familiar. But instead, rejoice because the treasure is about to burst forth. And this bursting forth is by far the most terrifying moment for the seed, when its shell finally gives way. At that moment, the seed, as it was known, ceases to exist. If you look into the soil, you wouldn't see a pretty smooth seed anymore. You would see a small and weak looking plant that is starting to grow. But there is a transformation. Once the shell is broken, the root shoots down to find God's nutrients in the soil, and the shoot pushes up to find God's light. And Isaiah 37 tells us, "And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." This is the downward anchor before we can see the eventual breakthrough. It is the prayer life that no one sees. It is the study of the Word in the early hours. It is the discipline of character. It is the denial of self. It is the intimate moments in worship, in reflection, and in listening to God's voice. The actions in obscurity will determine the level of the breakthrough. But church, the challenge to us is this. The bag is a lie. The bag is where potential goes to sleep. The field is where potential goes to work. If you stay in the bag for the rest of this year, in a nice, cozy, well-conditioned environment, you will look exactly the same on December the 31st as you do today, February the 9th. You still look the same, with the same struggles, the same issues, the same frustrations. But if you allow the great sower to take you out of the bag and drop you into the inconvenience of sacrifice, of self-denial, of soul winning, of prayer, of studying the Word, of commitment to community, then you will find that the soil of His will is rich, and everything you need to become who you are meant to be. But you might ask, "But Kelvin, why would God design such a system that requires pain to produce life? I think that is how it is this side of eternity. You see, in the physical, you cannot have a body transformation without a change in habits. In January 2025, I looked at myself in the mirror and I said to myself, you will have a ripped body by the end of 2025. But that's all I did. And I didn't do anything else. But I was just only a few grams heavier by the end of 2025. About 10,000 grams heavier. It's okay. In biology, as we know, you cannot have a new plant without the death of a seed. In theology, you cannot have a resurrection Sunday without a crucifixion Friday. If God allows you to stay whole and unbroken, you would remain a singular, insignificant seed. By allowing the breaking, He turns a seed into a harvest. Psalms 51 encourages us that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Why won't He despise it? Because a broken heart is the only kind that has enough cracks for the grace of God to flow into and through to a thirsty world. Are you willing to be broken so that you can be multiplied? Stop praying for God to protect your shell. Stop asking Him to keep you safe and comfortable in the bag. Instead, pray, Lord, do whatever it takes to break the shell so that the life you put in me can finally get out. The breaking isn't the end of your story. It is the opening of the door. Why do we need to do this? Why do we need the inconvenience and the breaking? We need to do this because there's a world before us that is starving. And a seed cannot feed anyone. Only a harvest can. The goal of our life is not to arrive at the gates of heaven as a perfectly preserved seed. The goal is to arrive as a branch that bore much fruit, that blessed many. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 tells us, He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Notice the order. God supplies seed to the sower, not the hoarder. If you want more of God's power, of His resources, more of His presence in our lives, then we must become a sower. When we give of ourselves, God pours more into us again and again. And imagine this, church, if every person in this church decided to fall into the earth this year, imagine the kinds of fruit that we would have at the end of the year. The bag offers preservation, but the field offers multiplication. So let me end with this. As we stand at the threshold of these next 326 days, we are faced with a choice that will determine the rest of this year. You hold in your hand a bag of potential, of talents, of time and resources, our treasures that God has entrusted to us. But the greatest enemy of the harvest isn't the birds of the air. It isn't the thorns in the ground. It is the delusion of later. Many of us may sit in this hall thinking, I will sow my seed when my exams are done with. I will sow my seed when I'm more free, when I have more free time after my child grows up. I will sow my seed when my portfolio grows into a certain size. I will grow my seed when I'm retired. I will give my heart to ministry when I feel more spiritually ready. We are waiting for the perfect weather to plant. But Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4 gives us wisdom. He says, he who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. If you wait for the perfect conditions, you will die as a seed in the bag. There's no such thing as a perfect time to be broken. The wind will always be blowing. The clouds will always be gathering. If you wait for your environment, your life to be easy, you're essentially choosing a life of nothing. The Lord Jesus said this to his disciples in John chapter 4 verse 35. Do not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. The 4 months mentality is a spiritual disease. It is the belief that the real work of God happens in the future. But my friends, we are here this morning to know that the harvest of this church, the souls won, the community transformed, is not waiting for God, because God is waiting on the seeds. He's waiting for us to stop admiring our potential and to start applying it. He's waiting for us to stop saying tomorrow and start saying, yes, use me today. Because procrastination is the grave of potential. We will never reap on December 31st what we were too afraid to plant in February. Jesus says, today is the day of salvation. He told the disciples to follow him today and not next week. He told those who procrastinated, let the dead bury their own dead. Now is the time to get out of the bag. The breaking is painful and the soil is dark, but the transformation is coming. When we stand here 1 year from today, let us not be the same people that we are. Let us not be people who are still holding bags of dry seeds, but instead let us be a people who are weary from the work, covered in the dirt of service, tired by self-denial and sacrifice, but shouting with joy because we see the first green shoots of a supernatural harvest. The field is ready. The master is watching. The question for us that we must ask ourselves, will we be planted today? Will we offer our lives unto the Lord today? Let us never delay what God has called us to be. Can I invite you to stand as we close in prayer and as we respond in worship? Father, you are a God who has placed within us so much. You have surrounded us with so much. You have given us not only for ourselves, but that we would serve one another, that we would serve a world that is hungry for your gospel, a world that is waiting for the sons of God to arise and to sow. Father, help us this day not to delay, not to procrastinate, not to sit back, but Lord, help us to be the people of God that you have called us to be. To step forward into the field and to sow and to be sown. So that at the appropriate time, your harvest, your harvest can come into your church. So Father, give us strength, give us the boldness, give us courage, Lord. We hold on to you, for you are our hope. A time of pain in the breaking, you are there with us. And we look forward in the hope and enjoy the things that you are about to do. In Jesus' name, amen.